If it's creepy and it's freaky, it's on hashtag Creaky, a podcast about the paranormal and unexplained. And here are your hosts, Megan and Brooks.
Thank you, disembodied voice. I love that introduction.
Always a pleasure to hear from disembodied voice.
Yeah, he does really good work, and it's pretty cheap, too.
Well, think we are for free.
Well, welcome back to Creaky. I'm your host, Megan.
And I'm Brooks.
And I almost went into our other show. We have another show, it says Bro Show, where we introduce ourselves similarly. And if you haven't checked it out, please do. It's on all the major podcast platforms, Sis Bro Show, a comedy duo. Before I start this episode, I want to tell our listeners about a Halloween promotion we have going on. Since October is obviously the spookiest month of the year, we will be doing more podcasts. And we'll also be taking some recommendations, suggestions. So if you guys have any suggestions of things that we should research and do an episode of, please let us know. You can do so by leaving us a voice message, a message on Instagram or on Facebook, hashtag Creaky Podcast. So the promotion is $100 Amazon gift card is something you could win. We are giving away $100 Amazon gift card to one of our listeners. You will get the code that you can add to your Amazon account and then buy whatever you want. I mean, it'll be Halloween, so obviously you should buy like masks and stuff. But again, we don't care what you buy. You can buy whatever you want. Here's how you enter. You have to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. So leave us a star review. Well, don't leave us just one star. Leave us like 5 stars. Come on. We deserve it, right? And leave us a review. And then once you do that, take a screenshot and send it to us on Instagram or Facebook so that we can see that you left the review. Now, I understand some of y'all don't listen on Apple Podcasts, and that's okay. You can still enter by leaving us a review on Facebook. So look up hashtag Creaky Podcast on Facebook, follow us and leave us a review. And then once you do that, we can actually see on Facebook that you left a review. Here's the cool part. If you leave us a review on Apple, you can get another entry by leaving us a review on Facebook. Just make sure that you screenshot your Apple Podcast review and you send it to us through a message on Instagram or Facebook. After you do that, you can even get more entries. Isn't that crazy?
Another? More than two?
More than two. You can get another entry by going to our other podcast, Sis Bro Show, a comedy duo, on Apple Podcast. Do the same thing. Leave us a review after you listen to some episodes. Come on, give us an honest review. Leave us a review. Make sure that you subscribe to us. Send us that screenshot. Boom, another entry. Same with Facebook. You can leave us a review for the Sis Bro Show, a comedy duo on Facebook. Screenshot that, send it to us, boom, another entry. And you can also get another entry after you do all that.
More entries than that?
More entries than that. You can go to Brooks's Twitch, which is twitch.tv/phantomfox4. Is that right?
That is correct.
And it's the number 4, right?
The number 4, correct, yes. All okay. One word.
All one word, twitch.tv/phantomfox4. And follow him. Give us a screenshot that you followed him. There's your other entry. And trust me, you'll want to, because if you enjoy Creaky, all this month on Brooks's Twitch, he will be doing scary games, horror games, right?
That's right. We're going to be doing all kinds of different horror games, from console games, PC games, and probably the most scariest, VR games.
Ooh. Yes. I'm excited to see you do that.
Horror games and virtual reality are no joke.
And I also wanted to play that game with you. So we'll probably be doing some streams together. I'll be a guest on his stream because there's that one game that I downloaded that I haven't played yet. It's pretty scary. What was the name of it?
It's called Dead by Daylight.
Yes. So hopefully we'll get to do that in October too. And I hate being scared, the jump scares. I used to play, what was that game that I played when I streamed?
Outlast.
Yes.
Yes, Outlast.
People love to watch me just because I was a big baby. So there we go. There's our promotion. $100 Amazon gift card. Just leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, on Facebook. Listen to Sis Bro Show. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Facebook. And follow Brooks at twitch.tv/ManaFox4 on Twitch, right?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. So, sorry. We wanted to share that with y'all. We will be sharing that every podcast episode in October. We will pick the winner on Halloween, and the winner will be announced the beginning of November. We'll also reach out to the winner before we announce them. So you'll know that you win before you listen to the podcast. But, you know, stay tuned to see who does win. Maybe you can hit them up. Maybe they can buy you a little something on Amazon. Okay. Without further ado, this episode is about the Berry Hill Mansion and Berry Hill Bridge in Ruffin, North Carolina. It's actually on the line, the North Carolina-Virginia line, because once you cross the bridge, you're in Virginia, you know, depending on which way you come. After you cross the bridge, you're in North Carolina if you're coming the other way. It's a bridge that Brooks and I have been to. I've been there at night. Have you been there at night, Brooks?
Mm-hmm. I have been there at night.
Super spooky. The bridge goes over the Dan River, which is a river that flows from Virginia into North Carolina. And Ruffin is actually our hometown. Mm-hmm. So we are very familiar with the legend of the Berry Hill Bridge. Growing up, I was always told that it was where the devil worshipers went.
Yes, that's what I heard as well.
Yeah, so that's where they went to sacrifice animals and such and just do what devil worshipers do, mm-hmm. which I'm not really sure. I will tell you this. My friend, my childhood friend, Nomi, lived, less than a quarter of a mile from that bridge. So I would spend the night at her house, and some nights we would hear screaming and yelling and almost like a party, but a crazy party happening at the bridge. Not sure what was going on because we were not going to go down there and check it out.
Oh, no, you didn't go down there and just take a peek?
No, we did not. Okay. So the Berry Hill Mansion is a mansion that's back in the woods, close to the Berry Hill Bridge, but it was built before the Revolutionary War. So back in the colony times. It actually was a hospital during the Revolutionary War. And people say that Berry Hill, it was actually Bury Hill, because that's where they buried mass graves, or they had mass graves for where they buried Revolutionary War soldiers. If you ever go during the day and you look in the fields, you know, close to the Berry Hill Bridge, you will see these big hills, just like kind of, I don't know, like a hump. And you'll see various ones. And I've been told that those are mass graves, not only from the Revolutionary War, but also the Civil War, because there were battles fought during both wars around that area.
Hmm. So that would explain the possible high activity there.
Yes, lots of activity. And the man that owned the Berry Hill house, his name was Peter Perkins. And it's thought to have been built around 1745, which I'm not really sure. I guess that would be a little bit before the Revolutionary War. But he owned the house during the Revolutionary War and opened it up so that it could be a hospital. And he actually went to court after we won the Revolutionary War and got reimbursed for the use of his house. And also he gave soldiers items. He got reimbursed for a wagon and also a boat for that they could use on the Dan River, which I thought was pretty cool information. Yes, so the Revolutionary War was in 1775, so this was built about a year before the Revolutionary War. And it's still standing. The house is still there. I've been to the house. Have you been to the house?
Mm-mm.
I went to the house.
Just the bridge.
Yeah. Me and a couple of my friends decided to go to the house, check it out during the day. Did not want to go there at night. So we went, it's old. It looks like somebody might have been taking care of it because there were like flowers and stuff outside, like a garden. So I don't know if somebody was just using the land around it or if they were actually taking care of the house. We went in the house and it, I mean, again, it was old. I didn't want to go upstairs because I didn't want to fall through. It was just really cool to kind of see a house that old.
Was it like pretty damaged as far as like, or was it just very old?
It was just very old. You could tell that people have restored it, you know, throughout the years, because I don't think it would still be standing if somebody wasn't taking care of it that long ago, you know. I would not recommend going to it because I just felt like so, it just felt eerie the whole time I was there. Like somebody was watching us. Almost like
that very uneasy feeling.
Yes. Almost like someone was in the woods surrounding us because I felt like I was being watched from all angles, which was very creepy. And then when I told my dad that I went, he was like, never go back there. So of course the legend's been around for a long time. And our dad told me that when he was in a school, a guy he knew actually went to look at the house to, you know, check it out, see what it was about. And somebody dared him to go at night. So he did. And they never heard from that guy again.
Really?
They just went missing. And I don't know if this is true or not, or if my dad was just telling me that to scare me, to keep me from going in the woods
and going there.
Looking at scary houses. But that's not the only story around this area. There's lots of things that have happened throughout the years. I guess the main thing is the Revolutionary War and just mass graves around that area. Another experience that I had, this was when I was in high school or I had just graduated. So I was in my late teens. My friend Naomi that I mentioned lived like quarter of a mile from the bridge. We were stopping at her aunt's house because she worked for her aunt. Her aunt owned land around the Berry Hill Bridge and on Berry Hill Road. That's the name of the road that the bridge is on. And so she stopped at her house. This was at night because we were getting ready to go to the movie. So it was pretty dark. And she just ran in and I stayed in her truck. And her aunt lived at the corner of Gravel Hill and Berry Hill Bridge Road. So like right there close to where the bridge is. And I keep seeing something in the corner of my eye in the field. And it looks like, I don't know, almost like gunfire, like the flash of gunfire. Mm-hmm. And I look like over and I don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, it looks like cannon fire, like just a big burst of light, but there's nothing.
And sound?
I can't hear anything either. I can just see these lights going off, and that's what it looks like. It keeps happening, and then Naomi finally comes back out. And I'm telling her, and she tells me that there are mass graves over there. I didn't know that before.
You know, I've heard that this is actually from all the stuff I've seen on TV and the shows I've watched and research I've done is that it's fairly common for areas that have seen war like that for there to, I mean, be visual but also audible sounds of war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called residual hauntings. It's like things are playing out as they did in the past. It's not really ghosts out there that really, you know, can interact with you. They're just going through the motions.
Oh, that would make perfect sense of what I was seeing. Very creepy.
Pretty common, yeah.
I would not go out there by myself at night again.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, too, one of the reasons they put it behind it is that it's it's very tragic. You know, lots of people died there. But it's also the way they died, the energy they leave behind, it's very emotional. And so it triggers these possible residual hauntings where they just reenact these moments in time.
Right. Oh, that would suck to be a ghost to have to do that over and over.
Yeah. I mean, because it's just like an imprint.
Right.
Of the past, pretty much. That's kind of overlapping, I think, with our timeline.
Yeah. that is creepy. And it makes sense of what I saw. And just to know that there are mass graves and people that never got to see their family again, people that didn't get to bury their family members. Mm-hmm. They just are just there. That's sad. Of course, like
their death was very abrupt and
mm-hmm. right. And since there was a hospital there, I mean, of course, people are not going to make it. And that begs the question of what do you do with their bodies? And really, they don't have a choice.
Because they can't keep the bodies. There was no way of actually like maintaining dead bodies back then.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, there, like you said, no way of maintaining the dead body, so they couldn't like send it back home. And of course, there are going to be English soldiers that die too, and you know, you can't send them all the way back home. So. Mm-hmm. I've heard of these mass graves in lots of different wars, and just, you know, like the Holocaust. It's just really sad that it came to that, but that's how it was. Mm-hmm. And that, I believe, is part of the reason why there's so much activity around that area and hauntings, but it's not the only reason. As we mentioned earlier, we have heard of the bridge being a place of devil worship. And that actually dates back to the early 1900s of devil worshipers actually going to the bridge and sacrificing things from the bridge, either by hanging it or stabbing it or burning it at the stake. And if anybody ever goes to that bridge, you will know the bridge because there's so much graffiti on this bridge. And it's been almost like the graffiti's just been there forever. I don't think they've ever cleaned the bridge off. It's just graffiti over top of graffiti over top of graffiti. Lots of those stars, like the devil worshiping star. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes, the pentagram. There we go. Lots of those around, and you can actually go under the bridge. So like I said before, the bridge goes over the Dan River, but there's area under the bridge where, you know, there's rocks and gravel and, you know, some soil and people, I've heard people go fishing, you know, from the Dan River. So I wouldn't go under the bridge to fish, but I have fished from the Dan River close by the Berry Hill Bridge. If you go under the bridge and look up, there's more graffiti everywhere. Over the years, this has been a place where people go to commit suicide by either jumping off the bridge into the water, hanging themselves by the bridge, or shooting themselves under the bridge. There have been so many suicides from the bridge that I had trouble finding an actual number.
Wow.
Yes, because it's been happening for so long, even before they kept records of it. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are some that weren't in the news. A big story that was in the news probably about 20 years ago was a woman that strapped her child to a car seat and threw the child over the bridge.
Wow.
Yeah. And the child passed away, and they found the child in Eden, which was, you know, kind of far, not really far away, but a couple of miles away from the bridge. And she, of course, admitted to it and was arrested. Just sad things happen around this bridge. And I don't know why people are drawn to this bridge to commit these acts, whether it be murder or suicide. But I think that holds some of the eeriness around the area, is that people have actually done these things. And who knows if they're still there. Parts of them, their spirit, or what. There are folk tales of if you try to cross the bridge on a certain day at a certain time, the devil will show up and try to keep you from crossing the bridge. Of course, I've never experienced that. And I couldn't find anybody that said they had. It's just a tall tale, basically. But to kind of give people an idea of the bridge and how it has the graffiti, if you are going down the road on either side of the bridge, it's completely dark. There are no streetlights out here. One side going into Virginia is just trees on each side. And this road is not, does not have the lines on it. It's just a gravel road that connects North Carolina to Virginia, or Eden to Danville. So when you go down at night, it is very spooky. There's no lights, trees on both sides, this dark, dark road that doesn't have any lines on it. I'm not really scared. I just have an uneasy feeling whenever I go down this road with the bridge.
I was always believed that Berry Hill Bridge is just in general, just a hot spot of pretty much evil. Like you hear of all these different locations that are hot spots.
Right.
That have high activity, that people are drawn to it, that there's very, you know, odd things that occur in these specific locations. And that's just one of those locations that is just known for having those, that activity.
Right. Oh yeah. There is also another legend around the Berry Hill Bridge. There are railroad tracks that are about 100 yards from the Berry Hill Bridge. So there is a railroad. And if you go down Berry Hill Bridge Road, it leads to a highway that connects Eden to Danville. And if you take a right, then there's train tracks right there. So you know that the train tracks are pretty close to the Berry Hill Bridge. Around the Great Depression, there was an old woman who lived about a quarter mile from the tracks. And one night she was walking up the railroad towards Draper, which is a subset of Eden. She was hit by the Norfolk Southern train. And 2 days later, a group of teenagers stumbled across her headless body and smashed lantern. So it's said that she also haunts that area around the bridge and around the train tracks, trying to find her way home. That's creepy. I would like to, would you ever stay the night around the Berry Hill Bridge?
Oh, wow. I mean, I think I would. I mean, I'd be a little more, being that, you know, we grew up around it. We know like the legends and the tall tale, the possible tall tales of it.
Right.
I'd be a little more reserved about doing it, but I think I probably still would.
Yeah. And we talk about how we want to hunt the great white monkey bat and how we want to go to the Brown Mountains to look at the Brown Mountain lights. And if you haven't listened, you should listen to our episode last week where we talk about the Brown Mountain lights. We even say we want to go and see that, but we're both kind of like, Berry Hill Bridge. I don't know. That should tell our listeners a little something about this bridge.
Because on one hand, like going out and finding and trying to hunt and get evidence of the great white monkey bat, I mean, that's something we've seen and a lot of people don't believe. So then we're a little more inclined to say, you know what, we want to go out there and get evidence of it. But when it comes to the Berry Hill Bridge, you know, all the stories we've heard, all the experiences we had with it, it's just, we're a little more, not too keen on jumping on that one. But I still would do it.
I would too. And like I said, my friend Nomi lived about a quarter of a mile. Her parents still live there. So if we ever get too spooked, we can just go to their house and be like, please, we want something.
Just come running up the driveway. Help,
yeah.
Help,
yeah. Help. Yeah. I'm actually reading about the mansion and it says that it's been, it is now a bed and breakfast. So I guess someone did buy it and fixed it up. Yeah.
So we could possibly stay there, but then actually go out and investigate and do stuff at the Berry Hill Bridge.
Yeah, we could, you know, two birds, one stone. We could stay in the actual mansion and do some investigating around that area.
I'm sure the mansion itself probably has some activity in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Given its age and its history.
Mm-hmm. And it also says there's a dirt road close to the house that is... the site beside it is the site of a slave graveyard. There are several slave quarters along the road that sit off to the right that you won't see unless you actually go looking for them. So that's another thing that we should probably go and look at and investigate are these slave quarters and graveyards, because, you know, the history around slavery is just real. I mean, you talk about war, slavery was just as bad, very sad. And so I would assume that there may be some slaves that could possibly be haunting the area. But yeah, something else that we can possibly tackle whenever we go. There's just so much there, the bridge, the mansion. And then I can also take you to that field where I saw that activity at night, which is close to the Berry Hill Bridge, but it's super creepy. You'll see those hills. That'd be good.
We can get, like we talked about before, getting the camera and the audio equipment to see if we can capture anything.
Yeah. There have been reports of at the cemetery, at the plantation, so the old mansion, strange sounds can be heard, and there are some figures that can be seen walking around. Somebody said even the bravest of men won't go around the cemetery at night. The railroad trestle down the road is also haunted. People who drive across these late at night may see strange lights and apparitions.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the legend of the ghost train.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The ghost train. So mm-hmm. many different legends around this area.
Seeing the light and hearing the train, but there's no train.
Yeah. Whew. There is said to be a lady in white that haunts the plantation house. There's also another legend that if you drive up to the bridge, turn off your car, lock your car doors, and roll up your windows and wait, that ghost of the girl dressed in white comes out and you can see her. She's screaming and trying to get into your car to escape predators, predators, which I assume she's, you know, being chased by someone.
So that's another thing we can try just kind of while we're out and about doing investigations is to get in the car, drive mm-hmm. down there and do that.
Yeah. And of course, we will be recording this the whole time so that everyone can see, and everything will, we won't be editing things. I mean, we'll probably edit the videos to take things out, but we're definitely not going to fake anything. If we don't say anything, then y'all aren't going to say anything.
But I would also like to, we can edit down a good chunk of it, but there's a lot of videos, especially that people upload to YouTube and stuff like that, or people see in documentaries where actual viewers happen to catch something that no one else did.
Oh, that's a good point. So it'd be a good
idea to upload large chunks of video just in case someone sees or hears something on the video that we miss.
That is a really good point. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that, but that makes sense. You know, when people are editing, they're not really looking in at their surroundings. They're looking at what's happening to them.
And the more that people are viewing these, they notice something maybe possibly in the background where it's like, oh, wow, no one noticed this. I better point this out.
Right. Yeah.
Ooh. So viewers have caught a lot of things and brought to investigators' attention.
Ooh. Spooky. Let's take a break. And we're back. Brooks, you said that you had an experience. Yes,
I had experience on the Berry Hill Bridge. I can't remember who I was with. Someone else was driving. It was one of my buddies. And we happened to, I think we were coming actually back from Danville. And there was a whole thing where if you were to stop your car and put it in neutral, it would start rolling backwards, but up the hill.
Oh, yeah. Gravity Hill.
So this is different.
Yeah, it's right by the bridge. So I would say it's probably about half a mile from the bridge.
Okay. So we were coming back from Danville, and we stopped there and did the whole spiel. Stop, put it in neutral. And sure enough, the car started rolling backwards up the hill. But whoever I was with, it was one of my buddies, and I had a couple buddies in the back too. Whoever was driving, as soon as it started happening, they freaked out. They went and drove and just rock and rolled out there.
Yeah, I've actually done that with the kids to show them. I showed Kevin when we were dating because I lived in Ruffin at the time. We went to Danville and come back. I was like, this is Gravity Hill. Showed him. And my boyfriend in high school actually showed me. I'd heard of it before, but I'd never been to it. He put his car in neutral and it rolled up the hill. Not only did it roll up the hill, he let it keep going and it kept rolling up the hill around that curve. Like he wanted to see how far it would go and it just kept going up and up this hill. I've heard it's like an optical illusion, but I'm not really sure how that would work because it definitely feels like you're going up a hill. Yeah, that's, and I've heard reasons why there's soldiers buried under that road and they're trying to get you to get off of them. I'm not really sure if it's an optical illusion or if there's more to it, you know. I've heard also around this, the bridge area, that it's where people like to leave stolen cars. So there also have been reports of that.
A good idea. If we do our, you know, our investigation there at the Berry Hill Mansion and Berry Hill Bridge, we can go check out Gravity Hill, and we'll bring a level. You know, one of those levels that carpenters use to make sure everything's level.
Oh yeah.
And we'll set down the road and see, and just see if maybe it is an optical illusion. Maybe we can go ahead and, you know, debunk that to disprove it.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe say, hey, look, you know, this is showing that it's actually rolling uphill. But also speaking of just hot spots in general of, you know, just almost this crazy amount of energy and activity going on. Do you know of a location in Bear Creek, North Carolina?
Bear Creek, North Carolina. I've heard of that before.
You should, because that is where you can find the Devil's Tramping Ground.
Ah, yes. That is. Mm-hmm. Ooh. And that's in the mountains, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's known because there at the Devil's Tramping Ground, there is a large, fairly large circle, like patch of area where nothing grows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to bring up.
And I remember when we were younger hearing about all the different stories about what happens if you go there and stay overnight.
Do tell.
Well, a lot of the tales I've heard is, and some of the ones that really stuck with me even growing up, these are the things I remember. Anything you leave in the circle overnight, by the morning, it would be placed outside of the circle.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the main things I remember hearing is that someone actually set up their tent and camped in the circle. And when they woke up the next morning, the entire tent and themselves were outside of the circle.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know how true those stories are. Mm-hmm. But when I heard that, I was just like, no.
So we should go.
So there's another location we should go.
I've heard that animals won't go in the circle. And the reason why things won't stay in the circle is because the devil needs room to dance in his little tramping ground circle. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't anything grow there?
I don't know. It was just one of those legends, and where, you know, people constantly, you know, speculate about it. But that's one of the main ones. As soon as we started talking about the Berry Hill Bridge and that hot spot, one of the first things popped in my head was Devil's Tramping Ground. Because I remember hearing so much about this when I was younger, and even listening to the story, just feeling terrified about it. Like, oh no, I don't want to hear this.
It's so weird. The name of the road is Devil's Tramping Ground Road, Bear Creek, North Carolina. That's creepy. I'm looking it up and there are actually houses for sale on Devil's Tramping Ground Road. Like, I would not want, like, had somebody ask you, where do you live? Devil's Tramping Ground Road.
Down on Devil's Tramping Ground Road.
It's called the most haunted campground in North Carolina. It's a 40-foot circle completely devoid of life and has been this way since most people can remember. People say that, you know, a lot of activity happens not just in the circle, but also around the area. play something in a circle overnight, it will have been violently thrown out come morning. It's been absent of life for hundreds of years. Stories passed down claim the land is where the devil enters the earth. He scorches the ground and comes through for a nightly earthly rain in which he paces the circle and plots his evil. Lighter sources claim this is simply where the devil comes to dance. To get even more relaxed about it, the area around the circle is sometimes littered or vandalized with spooky graffiti.
I mean, that's interesting. Like, we kind of talked about, you know, these different like hot spots and areas. And I mean, that's the case, you know, all around the world. There's always like these just locations that are very active.
Ooh, it says
I was just saying that, you know, it's like the possibility of these crossovers, you know, these legends of this is where the devil comes to dance or to pace and walk around circles and stuff like that. It just, I don't know. It makes me think that there are specific locations that are very specific to allow these type of like crossovers.
Right. Yeah. We have talked about this before, almost like portals. Mm-hmm. I was reading here. It says that dogs howl and bark at the empty spot of land. Some won't even go near it, but get this, people who've been brave enough to camp in the circle overnight have encountered strange figures lurking in the woods. Some say they never feel sane again.
So they say that it's changed them permanently?
Yes. Like they'd feel crazy.
Oh, wow. I mean, that right there is just a big deterrent to even want to camp within the circle.
Right. I would like to go look at it.
You want to camp in the circle?
I don't want to camp in the circle. No. I want to go look at it. Possibly stay overnight, but not in the circle. I don't want to go and experience something that I can't take back.
What if we did this? What if you camped outside the circle and I camped inside the circle?
You want me to camp outside the circle by myself?
And then we woke up and we were swapped.
Oh, gosh. That would be creepy. And
that would. That'd be creaky.
It would be very creaky. And it would take multiple people to move us. So I don't think it could be just one person doing all of it, you know.
I'm automatically say, yeah, that's not a hoax.
I'm wondering too if somebody owns this land off of the road, if they're okay with people just coming to look, you know, maybe it's them, the owners that come and throw them off the land. Like, get off my land.
Well, like, just go out there with like a four wheeler and do donuts so nothing grows there.
Yeah. Oh. You know, I hadn't thought about this in a long time, but it was also a legend when we were younger. People used to talk about very, very creaky.
Well, I want to say that the stories I heard about the devil tramping ground came from our Meemaw.
Yeah.
I remember her telling us about it.
She has been known to tell some ghost stories in her day. I was debating telling some of the stories that she's told us before, because I'm not really sure where they happened. You know, the headless train conductor. Remember that story?
I recall that one, yes.
The legend goes, he held a lantern outside of the train with his head, and another train came by and cut his head off, and now he searches the tracks for his head with his lantern. And then the other story about the lady at the bridge wanting a ride. You give her a ride to the house and then she disappears in the backseat of your car, which that is a common legend just everywhere.
Very urban legend.
Yeah. She's told us that story. And then she's also told us the story of Mary Wolf. Do you remember Mary Wolf?
I haven't thought of Mary Wolf in a very long time.
Yeah. So this happened a long time ago, back in the 50s, 60s, maybe. A little girl was walking home. She ran out in traffic and got hit by a car and passed away. And they say that she still haunts the school that she was going to when she passed away, and that students had seen her, and our uncle even saw her. A teacher saw her. There were so many reports of people seeing her that the teachers actually told the children, do not tell your parents about this. And of course, our uncle went and told our Mimaw. Mm-hmm. And she went to the school, and our Mimaw used to say that she had the capability to speak to the spirits and figure out what they needed so that they could pass on. Mm-hmm. So she was going to try to do that, but she never appeared to her, so she couldn't.
That could be a possibility. Like I said, I still am on the fence a lot about this stuff, but I would think that, you know, like you say you have that ability as well, you know, Mimaw. Mm-hmm. I would definitely believe would have that also. It could be possible that if Mary Wolf is real, that being that she's a child, she wouldn't want to interact with an adult.
That's true. And that's why the children saw her, and maybe why the teacher saw her, because she knew the teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the teacher that was there when she was going to the school. But that, yeah, you know, I do, and I don't really talk about my ability that much, but I have had experiences where spirits have came to me and told me things so that they could pass on. And it happens a lot with me. Now my daughter, it's happening with her, and she's 5. I'll tell you quickly an experience that she had. Her babysitter last year, mother passed away. So she had passed away probably about 6 months before she started watching Vera and her brother. And they were talking about her. So the babysitter was talking about her mother with her daughter. So it would be her grandmother. And she had an urn with her ashes in it. And Vera asked what that was. And she said, oh, this is my mom. And Vera said, no, that's not your mom. I've seen your mom before. She laid down on the ground, and she died because her heart was hurting. And Ashley like freaked out and told me that that's how her mom like collapsed on the floor and died of a heart attack.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I would say a couple weeks later, I was giving Vera a bath, and she was like, you remember Ashley's mom? And I was like, yeah. Vera said, she's mad at Ashley because Ashley stole her keys. And I was like, okay. So I told Ashley this, and she didn't know what I was talking about. Probably a week later, she shows me something that she had, which was her mom's purse. And she said, since her mom passed away, she just couldn't go through it. You know, she couldn't bring herself to look through it. That she finally did decide to go through it, and inside was all of her mom's keys to her houses, to her car, to her storage building, to everywhere. And they had been actually looking for those keys and found them in that pocketbook after Vera said something about it.
Wow. That's crazy.
It is very crazy. Things that she would not have known. And she says things about Kevin's father, her grandfather that passed away before she was born, how he has visited her and he looks like daddy, and just things like she really wouldn't know about him, just because of that ability, I guess. And I, like I said, I don't really like to talk about it because people have a reaction, and it's either they think I'm full of shit or they really want me to communicate with somebody. It's either one. And I don't mind, but I don't control who comes through. So I feel like I let people down because I'm not going to make up a story. You know, if they don't come through, then they don't come through. And sometimes people will talk about someone to me and want them to come through, but another person will come through that they knew and they didn't talk about. So I assume. And I've also had people come through that told me things to tell a loved one that there's no way I would ever, ever tell their loved one. Like ghosts that I wish would never like visit me. And I know this is kind of odd for our listeners, but so it usually happens when I'm dreaming. So I'm in the dream state and I feel like I'm in between awake and completely asleep in that twilight. Do you know what I mean? Like falling asleep, but not quite asleep, but not all the way awake. That's like the sweet spot. And recently I've felt things while I was awake. Very creaky.
What kind of creaky things?
Okay. So I was talking to my friend Nomi. Man, she really has been brought up a lot during this episode. Mm-hmm. And I had communicated with her husband's friend's grandfather, somebody that I'd never met, didn't know him at all, who passed away. And he lived close to where Nomi and her husband lived. And I was spending the night at her house one night, and he came through to me while I was there, which made sense to me. You know, it was close to where he passed away, and had me tell things to his grandsons, who I knew one of them and the other one I had met before. But again, these aren't like my friends. I don't know them that well. So I tell them things that I would never have known. And one believes me, one kind of doesn't believe me, you know? But again, I don't try to prove myself. I tell them what they tell me and there, I've done what, you know, they wanted me to do. Whether they believe me or not is not up to me. I don't try to convince people. So it had been a while since that happened, and Nomi messaged me one day and says, all right, I kind of have to go back a little bit. Sorry, I'm kind of backtracking. During the dream, he had a little girl sitting on his lap, and I asked him who she was, and he says, oh, she's my granddaughter. She just hasn't been born yet. So he was spending time with the spirit of his granddaughter who hasn't been born yet. I'm like, oh, okay. So he tells me all these things. And then, I tell Nomi, she tells Trey, and he is kind of confused because neither one of them have a child on the way. A few months later, his girlfriend gets pregnant. They find out it's a girl. So there, there's a little bit of proof. They know what they want to name her. Well, the man comes to me again in another dream with a different little girl. And I'm like, this is not the granddaughter. He's like, this is my other granddaughter. So his brother's wife gets pregnant. It's a girl. So right there, I had dreamed about both of these little girls before they were ever born. So not only do I dream about spirits that have passed away, but I dream about spirits that haven't even been born yet. Mm-hmm. Nomi messaged me and asked me what they should name their daughter. They wanted to know what he would, and I swear, when I read that out loud, I felt a presence and a whisper that said they should name her Bethany and call her Betty. So I tell Nomi this because it freaks me out. This doesn't really happen to me while I'm completely awake. Mm-hmm. And Nomi is dumbfounded because come to find out his wife's name was Betty. And she passed away before he did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was my experience of it happening while I was fully awake. Mm-hmm. And since then, it started happening. It's almost like they opened a gate or something. And I feel these. So when it happens, most of the time I can hear what they're saying. If I don't, then I feel what they're feeling. I think what they're thinking. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I can most of the time tell you how they died with how I feel, and if they're content or if they need to communicate something before they feel content. So they have that anxious feeling of, I need to tell you this and you need to. The bad thing is I have lots of spirits visit me that I have no idea who they are and I have no idea who they're trying to tell me to tell. And some of those spirits will visit me multiple times. So it's kind of like, I don't know who you're telling me. I don't know who you are. I don't know why you're telling me these things. And Kevin said I should start like a journal or something so I can keep all of it and maybe even start a podcast where I just talk about all these messages that I get. And maybe they can reach who they're supposed to reach. I don't know.
Or it could be part of a segment here on Hashtag Freaky.
Oh, it could. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you talk to me about somebody that passed, I don't want you to tell me lots of details. And even sometimes if I can touch something that was theirs, then that will open it up to where they will come through. Most of the time, all I have to do is communicate. I don't even have to talk about the person that passed away. If I meet somebody and they have that spirit around them, it's almost like they see, oh, here's somebody that I can talk to that'll tell them what I'm going to say, and they'll come to me. So we don't even have to talk about the person. But maybe our listeners could leave us a message and say, hey, see if my grandmother comes through or something like that. You don't even have to tell me their name. But again, like I said, not always. Sometimes people don't have anything to say, I think. And they, you know, they pass on.
I'd also like to hear as well, because I'm sure our listeners, they probably have had experiences as well with, you know, odd dreams or, you know, contact with stuff with dreams. Because everyone knows. So, I mean, if you have any experiences like that, feel free to leave us a message, you know, with your experience. And how can they do that, Megan?
Oh, they can do that by clicking on the link in the show notes. That's a way to leave us a voice message. If you don't want to leave a voice message, if you want to type something out, you can reach us on Instagram.com/#creaky, spell out hashtag, or you can search on Facebook #creakypodcast and you will find us. Both of our profile images match the podcast art that we have on our podcast. So no matter where you're listening from, look at your phone or your computer, whatever that art is. Once you get to our Instagram or Facebook, you'll see that and you'll know it's us and you can leave us a message. Same way with entering the contest. Once you leave us a review, send us a screenshot either through Instagram or through Facebook, and that will be your entry. And then you can do the multiple entries too. So there's more ways than one to win the $100 Amazon gift card, which we will be picking the winner on Halloween, on our Halloween episode. And I'm not sure what we're going to do the Halloween episode on, Brooks.
Oh, it'd be something big. We'd put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah. And if you have any suggestions for that, please let us know. If it doesn't become the Halloween episode, we could definitely do another episode on it.
And also real quick as well, being that you know, open up about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Everyone who listens kind of knows my standing when it comes to stuff like this. You know, with like this and paranormal in general, like, you know, I'm intrigued by this stuff. I love talking about it. I love researching it. But at the same time, I'm also, you know, pretty quick still to say that I'm still on the fence. You know, I can't say that it exists. I can't say that these things happen. I can't say they don't. You know, I don't consider myself a believer, and I also don't consider myself, a non-believer.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't really put myself like in that area. I'm just kind of in the gray. But I've had a possible experience. It may, like I said, it just may be an emotional thing or, you know, something that's happened to me in the past. But the only experience I've had with something to that effect is when my good friend Shane passed away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you remember Shane because I met him in elementary school in like daycare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on my 18th birthday, he passed away in a car wreck.
Yeah. Very tragically.
And he lived right down the road from me. So we were constantly hanging out. He was either at my house or I was down there at his house. Mm-hmm. And after he passed away, I kept having these odd dreams about him where I would be in the house. One specific dream, and there was multiple dreams, but there's one specific one where I was asleep on the couch in the living room. And I woke up and he was had his arms on the back of the couch and was like leaning over the couch watching TV with me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Shane, what are you doing? And he looked at me, he said, what? I said, dude, you're supposed to be dead. He's like, no, I'm right here. And I was like, well, we gotta go tell your parents. Mm-hmm. And we go to get in the car, and he gets in the car, and I get in my car, and he backs out and starts driving away. And then I go to start my car up, and it just sounds like static, like on the TV.
Oh.
Like the car just sounds like static.
Yeah.
And I'm yelling at the window, telling him to wait for me. And he keeps going down the road. And then all of a sudden I wake up on the couch and the TV had went out. And that was the static coming through my dream. And I had multiple dreams like this. And the very last dream I had about him was I was laying in my bed in the bedroom, which my bed was in that corner next to those two windows. And I don't know if you remember this, but whenever we used to come home from doing stuff, if the door was locked, I always kept a window open or unlocked in my room that we would climb up and push the window up and climb back into the house.
Yeah, we would break in. Yeah.
We would do this constantly because we all didn't have like house keys and stuff. And we were all constantly, everyone was coming and going.
Yeah.
So I did that just to make sure I could get back in the house. But the dream I had is I was laying in bed and I woke up to the sound of the window opening and I looked over and like Shane's whole upper body was like in the window, like, you know, coming through in my room, like he was climbing through. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, you're supposed to be dead. And all my previous dreams that I had about him was he would say, no, I'm right here. And I would be so excited that he was back.
Yeah.
But in this particular one, I said, you know, once again, I was like, dude, I thought you were dead. And he looked at me and said, oh no, I am. I just came to say goodbye. Aww. And, I remember I reached out and I shook his hand. I was like, well, you know, I appreciate that. And, you know, goodbye, Shane. And he said, goodbye, Brooks. I told him, I said, hey, make sure to go say bye to your parents and your brother. He says, oh, I am. And said our goodbyes and that was it. And I've never, to this day, never, ever had another dream about him.
That's all he needed.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a possible, once again, even with that experience, I was still kind of on the fence. I was like, that may have been just my closure.
Right.
You know, about this whole emotional, you know, thing about, you know, losing a good buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. But it's a very nice thought that it could be something real of him coming to me in a dream to say goodbye.
Right.
I remember that so vividly, just the exchange of goodbyes between us, it was a really firm, like felt just very real handshake.
Yeah. I wonder if his parents had an experience.
And I remember that specifically too. Like after he says goodbyes, right when he started going out back out the window, I called him. I said, hey man, you know, make sure to go say bye to your parents and your brother also. And he said, okay, yeah, I will. And then he left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the dreams I have are similar to that where they'll just come and tell me what they need to say and then they'll leave. Mm.
So a possible experience on my end. Once again, like I said, with my whole standing, you know, I still kind of poke holes in it that it could be, once again, it's just, you know, it was a very emotional time for me.
Right, yeah.
It was what I needed and what I maybe formed subconsciously to get that closure that I needed. But at the same time, it was so different from any other past dream I had had about him where I was always surprised to see that he was there.
Right.
And he always would respond with a different response.
But this time he agreed that he did pass away.
Yes, this time he did. He did actually agree and tell me that he had died and that he was just there to say goodbye.
So sad.
Hmm. But that is really the only experience I can recall with possible contact or, you know, something happening within a dream that could possibly be something paranormal. Mm-hmm. Or once again, could be subconsciously closure for me. I mean, either way, it completely, I never had a dream about him again. And it's just a really nice thought and feeling.
Yeah.
I did wake up from that one. All the other times I woke up, it was always just like this depressing kind of, you know, you wake up and he's still gone.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas that time I remember waking up and I felt good. It felt nice to be able to say goodbye.
Yeah. That's, I feel like he came through. I think that when you're in that state, you're more open to those experiences because you don't have your consciousness telling you it's not real.
Mm-hmm. And we always talked about too, we even talked about on our previous alien podcast, just about people who are more susceptible to certain things, more open.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I would say that while you're open to things, you're still not
That's true. You're still on the fence. I feel like I am open to possibilities, but at the same time, I still look at things very carefully.
Right. Yeah. You're like not definite, like, oh, this was that kind of experience. Like, eh, well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't.
Like, I'm not a skeptic, but I'm also not like, this is definitive for me of proof, you know?
All right. Let me ask you this. If we go to Berry Hill Bridge and we go and visit the mansion that's now a bed and breakfast, what would you have to experience to make you say, yes, there is a such thing as ghosts?
I mean, actually seeing an apparition would definitely, would definitely do it for me.
You won't be like, oh, well, maybe that was my mind playing tricks on me.
Well, I mean, I guess it would depend on what I actually see. Like, if I see something like really far away where I'll see like a slight movement and I'm like, oh, was that an apparition or was that my eyes playing tricks on me? Or like, it would have to be pretty, I mean, I wouldn't have been saying like a full on like figure, like standing right next to me going, hey, I'm a ghost, I'm real. And I'd be like, oh, word.
Right. Like, nice to meet you. Yeah. I'm real.
Yeah. I'm a ghost. So there it is on the table for you. And I'm like, okay, oh, thanks.
Right.
But, you know, just something to that extent of, you know, just seeing something, hearing something, something, there has to be something that has to make me, you know, say for, you know, just become like, hey, I'm off the fence now. Ghosts are real. I've had this experience. I know it's real. Because I even, you know, we talked about that experience I had with seeing that shadow person in the house.
Oh, you know, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, that's one where I've always constantly just thought about. But once again, it was something I saw at the corner of my eye. It may be something I didn't even see at all, but it was very vivid. I can't remember which episode we talked about it on, but just very quickly, I walked from the living room to the kitchen. I was eating a bowl of cereal, and I see someone walk from our sister's room, Jessie's room, one of our younger sisters. I see someone cross the hallway from her room to the bathroom as I passed the hallway, and I was still eating my cereal, and I stopped, and it dawned on me that I was the only one home at the time. And it was so convincing that I actually grabbed a knife from the kitchen and went in the bathroom and was cutting the lights on, and even thought someone could be in the shower. You know, we had that enclosed shower with the glass, like the murky glass door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had to go in there and make sure that there wasn't a real person in there.
And nothing.
There was nobody in there. But then once again, I started kind of disproving it to myself. I was like, well, I was walking by the hallway. I did see it out of the corner of my eye. You know, it could have been just my mind playing tricks on me.
Well, that house in general, and I know we've kind of went over here, but, you know, we're, again, it's our scary month. Well, almost the scary month. And we're talking about hauntings right now. So I just want to bring up the fact that I have had, you know, some experiences in that house where you saw this shadow multiple times that I feel like that house was haunted. You know, things would fall off of my dresser. I'd had my hair dryer kind of fly across the room one night. No idea how that happened. The TV would cut on and off. I had a light that would cut on and off. I could not keep my closet door closed. It would always open.
I remember that. I remember the closet door.
Yeah, I could put stack stuff in front of it, and I would wake up and it would be open. I remember being awake and feel like hearing somebody walk across my room, walk across the floor, sit down on the end of my bed. I felt them, like felt the bed dip at my feet, and then felt them get up and heard them walk away. And there was nobody there. Like, I saw nothing. I could just feel the presence and hear the noises. And I would sleep with my TV on because of the noises that I would hear at night.
I recall creepy. Hearing the footsteps. It was mainly I would hear, because I would stay up late playing video games. And so I would hear the floors creaking, especially like in the kitchen. You know, the kitchen was the dead giveaway of like one of our parents getting up.
Right. Yeah.
And because there was this one loud spot right there about in front of the back door where once someone stepped on that crossing it, it would make this loud creak.
Yep.
And I would quickly just turn my TV off. Yeah, because I'm not going to be up late playing video games.
Right,
yeah. On like school nights. But I would hear that creak. I would turn the TV off and I would sit there and listen. And nothing. There'd be nobody. Mm-hmm. But once again, with my standing, I always just thought, oh, it's probably just the house, you know, moaning and creaking and whatnot. It was an older, you know, house.
Ooh. One night I was, this was after I had moved out. I was staying with our dad. I had split up with my husband. Both me and my sons were staying there. And I bought a computer. And I was hooking it up to the internet to get it, like, going. But in order to do that, I had to go into your room because that's where the modem was. So I'm in there, it's getting dark, I'm by myself trying to hook this computer up. My sons were with our mom, and I heard the front door open and close, heard somebody walk in, go into the kitchen, open and close the refrigerator. And I'm like, I'm back here. Hey, who's home? Who's that? I don't hear anything. So I go and there's nobody there. The door is locked. I get the computer and I leave because it freaked me out that much. Like, there was nobody there, but I definitely heard the front door open and close. And I had had experiences before where that door would just open.
I recall that one as well. I remember sitting on the couch and the front door just opening.
Yeah. Yeah, that I believe that house, there's something going on. And they're, you know, our dad sold that house, so there are new people that live there. I'm just curious if they've experienced anything.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, it's just growing up, I always thought the house was haunted. I had those experiences, felt things. I don't think I've ever seen like a shadow person like you did. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think there was something in there, something going on.
I do remember I used to, especially when I was younger, just feeling very, very anxious, very worried, almost scared, like not full on scared, but almost scared when I was in the house. Cause I remember that I grew to love the sound of the train coming through and the horn and just the sound of it on the tracks, you know, so close to our house. For some reason, it became very relaxing to me. It was very nice just to hear something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember I would just be laying in bed and I would just be having this very uneasy feeling and I would hear that train. I'm like, oh, and it was like relieving. And that's why I love the sound of trains now. It's still to this day very relaxing to me to hear a train going by.
I do. I like trains too, and they don't bother me like you would think other people would be like, how do you sleep during trains going by this loud? I mean, you get used to it, but yeah, I do like that too. And where our dad lives now, I've heard trains going by and I'm like, you had to move somewhere near a train track, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. There's a train track close to where we live right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not as close that you can, and trains aren't as like, it's like they don't frequent. Come by as often. Yeah, they're not as frequent, but I still at night will hear a train going by in the distance and it still relaxes me.
Oh, it makes you think everything's going to be okay.
I just like to think the idea that all of our listeners keep hearing of us talking about these experiences that we've had and everything that I've experienced as well. And they're probably sitting there thinking like, why is Brooke still on the fence with all these experiences he's had? Yeah, because I just want to kind of just throw it out there and just, you know, I always kind of come up with possible rational explanations for stuff. I haven't had, you know, a really big experience to something really definitive happen to me where it's like, yes, this is real. It's always been, you know, little stuff like that, stuff that I can kind of, you know, rationalize and let it roll off my back.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So before we lived in that house that we're speaking of, where you saw the shadow person and I had the experiences that I did, we lived in a trailer, which we talked about on our last episode, our alien episode, because that's where we were living when I saw that egg thing in the sky. And if you listen back to the alien episode, you'll hear that. So we moved into this trailer when I was just a year old. It was before you were born. And we lived there until I was, I want to say I was in the fourth or fifth grade. I might have been 10 or 11.
Yeah, I remember moving and going to that elementary school, the new one, where I actually met Shane, was in third grade. I was in third grade. Yeah. I had just started third grade.
Mm-hmm. And we went to that summer daycare at that same school. That was fun. But in this trailer, we had an experience, and we didn't find out that we all had the same experience until more recently. I had the experience, you had the experience, and so did our sister Jessie. We never talked about it though as children. We brought it up a couple of years ago during Christmas party.
I had mentioned something about it at a Christmas party, and you and Jesse, I remember both y'all just looked stunned, you know, mouths agape and everything, and we're just like, I had that experience too.
Yeah, and it was so weird because I remember it vividly, just hearing, okay, so the experience, I know, we're being very,
very vague. Building tension, suspense.
So my experience was at night, I'm in my bedroom and there were two bedrooms, one on each end of this single wide trailer. And then there was a bathroom beside our bedroom, and our parents had a bathroom in their bedroom. But I remember waking up and hearing singing coming from the bathroom, what sounded like in the bathtub, because the bathtub was on the far end of the bathroom. And it sounded like multiple people, like just almost like a, like not really words, just humming and that kind of sound. In my mind, I pictured angels in the bathroom singing, just because that kind of made me feel a little bit better than what it might have been. Mm-hmm. And I just remember getting up, running by the bathroom and getting in the bed with our mom and dad and feeling a little bit safer, you know? Mm-hmm. Just left you and Jesse behind. And your experience?
My experience was a little more terrifying than yours. because it was the same thing. It was hearing the singing or the humming coming from the bathroom. And I remember even like later on, before we did the Creaky podcast or even started it, I had messaged you after we had all had the experience, and I asked you, that singing come from the bathroom. What kind of singing was it? And I had already known that it was a humming. It sounded like a woman humming a tune in the bathroom.
Right.
And you sent me a message back saying, you know, there was no words or anything. It was just humming. And I was just like, ooh, okay. But it was the same experience for me. I would hear this humming, and to me, it was terrifying. It was like it was there to lure me. It wanted me to come to the bathroom.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And I remember having a nightmare where I was actually up out of my bed hearing the singing, and I was slowly walking towards the bathroom, and I was just completely, I was like stiff. I wasn't in control of my own body. I was freaking out of my own mind, you know, yelling at myself, what are you doing? Stop. Don't go in there.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in there in this dream, and there was a woman sitting in the bathtub, and she was very, her skin was almost transparent. It was so pale.
Yeah.
She had long black hair. And as I was getting closer, she was still humming. But then these like vines or roots started coming out of the bathtub from like around her and was slowly like reaching out to me.
Ooh.
And I was just freaking out in my head. I also had one. This was actually not a dream. This was one where I was laying in bed. And you remember our parents used to keep the hall light on for us our night light when we were kids. And as I was laying there, I could have swore I saw our door move a little bit. And I kept looking at it, and it moved a little bit more. And then it slowly started closing, like a very sluggish, slow moving as it just kept slowly closing and closing. And I remember laying there looking, just staring at the door, just in my head begging for it to just stop, to not close. And it just kept going and kept going. And finally, right when it was about to close, I just jumped out of bed, stuck my fingers in the small gap, swung the door open, and took off running to our parents' room.
Leaving me and Jesse behind.
Leaving you guys behind. But once again, I still kind of rationalize it as, you know, a possibility of, you know, we were, you know, dumb kids. Maybe we had brought it up to each other when we were younger and talked about it.
Maybe. I mean, that is a possibility, but I know for a fact it happened.
Or this is another possibility that just came to me while we were talking about this. Because I'm sitting here rationalizing against it. Mm-hmm. But to stay open to it, to the possibility of the existence of these things, the singing woman in the bathroom. What if it is possible that me and you both are open to these things, but to keep myself away from it, I have built like these mental barricades, these blocks to keep me from it?
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people are like that they are, I guess they, I wouldn't say have a gift, because sometimes I don't feel like it's a gift at all, but just to use that, you know, analogy, you have the gift, but you don't want the gift. So you keep yourself from receiving it. Mm-hmm. Trying to close yourself off to it. Yeah. I think that happens a lot.
I'm sure there's other people out there who maybe this is like resonating with. They're like, whoa, you know, maybe I'm kind of like Brooks, because I've had these experiences, certain experiences as well, and I've quickly dismissed them and have built this mental, you know, like almost shield around myself from these things.
Right. Yeah. I think it takes like a very vivid experience to kind of turn that on, or maybe you won't have that experience because of that closedness that you also harbor, you know? I mean, how many people you think have had an experience and just brushed it off as something else? Probably a lot, I would imagine.
There's actually, I'll go ahead and throw this out there as well. Me and my wife, I want to say my wife had said something that's actually happened in the home that we're in right now.
Oh, go on.
And well, she said that she was laying in bed and she saw a dark mass or shadowy kind of mass at the top of the curtains in the bedroom, and that it looked like it quickly shifted and went down the curtain onto the floor.
Ooh.
And then it was gone. But I quickly dismissed it, but for multiple reasons.
Okay.
One, I could be dismissing it and moving on just to keep up that mental blockade of, you know, oh, there's nothing like that actually exists. That could
my wife anything, is just crazy. You
know? My wife is just a crazy lady. you know, it could have been the air conditioning, the vents below that curtain. So it could have been just something when the air came on that it caused that shadow or whatever. So it could be, once again, the mental blockade going up saying, oh, no, that's not right. That's not true. But also part of me, the open part of me, believes that I was quick to dismiss it, because a lot of times if you acknowledge activity, if you address it, if you, you know, kind of hit it head on, you are opening up those doors for more activity.
Oh, yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, that I basically opened a door whenever I acknowledged what happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like I'm dismissing on both of those grounds, of the possibility that it could exist, on the possibility that it doesn't exist.
So it's almost like you're staying in denial for your saneness.
Possibly. I could be just staying in this neutral position just to, if it does exist, to keep it from getting too crazy.
Right.
You know, and there's still things that happen that, you know, like scare me, or, you know, kind of like, oh, that's creaky.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But then once again, I let it roll off. I keep moving forward. And it could be just, like I said, I rationalize things. It could be where my current state of, you know, my beliefs in this. Or it could be just that our experiences while we were younger, to protect myself, I have created some type of, and this is like a theory that I just came up on the spot as we're talking about this stuff.
I mean, it makes sense, though.
You know, I could be forcibly closing, you know, my ability to do these types of things.
Well, I mean, I think it's good for both of us whenever we do go on our adventures and we are, you know, studying these areas and trying to see if we can see anything, to have somebody that's more open and somebody that's a little skeptical, because it makes it so that, you know, if nothing happens, we're not going to try to make up something to happen. Yeah, you know,
it brings balance to it.
It does. Yeah.
Whereas with the gray white monkey bat, though, that is real for me now.
Right. So
that was a definitive enough experience for me to go, things out there exist that I don't know about.
You know, last night when I was outside, it was dark. And I was, you know, just kind of looking around, had the dog out there. He was using the bathroom. I heard this like scream come from the woods, and it just sent chills up my spine. Never heard a scream like that before. Don't know what kind of animal it was. But it scared me so bad that I was like, okay, hurry up, dog. Let's go back inside. Yeah. Speaking of the great white monkey bat, that did cross my mind. Like, oh my God, does he live in these woods behind my house now?
Well, it's also possible that we didn't even see the same creature. We could have seen different variations of just different types of creatures that aren't really known to us.
Yeah.
That could possibly have the ability to pass through, you know, these hot spots, these dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've also heard that when you talk about something a lot, that almost conjures it through that portal.
Like almost like summons it.
Yeah. That, I mean, again, I too am skeptic too. You know, I don't want people to think that I just believe everything and all these stories I'm reading, definitely I'm saying, yes, they happened. I need to experience things too. I'm skeptical. I just feel like I've experienced more than Brooks has experienced. So I am not as much on the fence as you are. There are certain things I say, yes, I did experience this. I don't think it could have been anything else.
And you believe it to be true.
I do.
It is true to you. You have your truth.
I do. But again, these are things I've experienced. If there are other things that we've read or heard about, that's why we want to go and try to experience it for ourselves. And also for our listeners to show you some evidence, give you some content so that you can, you know, see it for yourself and then make a decision. But yeah, I'm excited. I really think that we should definitely go to Berry Hill, do some investigating, possibly go to the Devil's Tramping Grounds in Bear Creek, do some investigating. And I wouldn't even mind going back to where our trailer used to be and just doing some investigating there. We'd have to speak to the person that owns the land now, but yeah.
I want to hear from our listeners, because I like to hear, you know, other people's experiences, especially people who may find themselves in the same standing as I am, where they're interested in it, but they're still on the fence and they had experiences where they don't really, you know if it's something real or if it was something that their mind playing tricks on them, maybe, or even people who have like you, or who have definitive experiences where like, yes, this is what happened to me to make me where now I know and I believe that it is true.
Right. I had a listener message me. I'm not sure if he wants me to say his name, so I'm not, but all he said was, research the owl man. I'm sure I saw one many years ago leap from a tree. So there we go. There's a possibility of something that we can do an episode on if anybody's had any experience with an owl man. Really, we want to hear any experiences you've had, anything out of the ordinary.
We had that one back on our previous alien abduction podcast where someone talked about their experience with being abducted and how different it sounded to me. Like, I've never heard anything affect a person the way it affected him with the possible abduction. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was very interesting that it was so similar to other abduction stories, but then also so different in how it affected him afterwards.
Yes. And still happened over 20 years ago and still affects him to this day.
If you want to hear about that experience, check out the Alien Abduction podcast.
Yes. And then, you know, with his experience where it happened, we happened to come across the Brown Mountain Lights, where it happened to a lot of people in that area, which was kind of like, I'd never really thought about or heard about the Brown Mountain Lights before until I started researching the area where he was abducted.
Speaking of past broadcasts as well, if you're also wondering about what is this great white monkey bat they keep talking about, we have a podcast on that as well, on my experience with it as well as Megan's experience with it.
Mm-hmm. And our experiences were years apart, so definitely check that out. You'll hear the whole story, my story and Brooks's story.
The one thing I am definitively like standing on now and believing, mm-hmm. because I've had that experience.
Yes, it took years.
Took years, and I had been on the fence about everything. I'm on the fence about a lot of things still, but when it comes to stuff like that, I am a believer now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, just in general, we're constantly, or scientists, not us, personally, but scientists are constantly finding new species of animals that mm-hmm. never been discovered before. So I feel like that's more of a possibility that there are animals and creatures out there that nobody's ever either discovered or only shows itself to certain people that are super cool, like me and you.
Oh, yeah. Or our listeners who are super yes. cool.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear your experiences, super cool listeners. And if you haven't had an experience, that's okay. If you want to know more about something, let us know that too. And we will definitely research it and possibly do an episode on it.
Just heard a story from someone. Maybe someone mm-hmm. told you their experience and you can share their experience with us.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. No matter what it is, let us know. Talk to us. Well, we're going to have to come to an end. I know it's very sad. I've had a lot of fun this episode. I just wanted to kind of reiterate, please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, enter our contest by leaving us a review, catch our other podcast, This Bro Show, and also follow Brooks on Twitch because he will be doing horror games the month of October, and we know you creaky listeners out there love some horror stuff. So follow Brooks on Twitch at twitch.tv/PhantomFox4.
They actually could probably get to see what I look like too, because when it comes to horror games, like, you gotta be on camera to play horror games to see those jump scares.
Yeah, so that will be such a treat for you guys. I hope it doesn't, affect the way you think about me, because I don't look like him.
No.
But I mean, kind of a little bit, just think long hair, no beard.
Yeah, like reverse the hair.
Oh God. Okay. Well, next week, do we know what we're talking about next time?
Oh, how would we even talk about that, did we?
No, we didn't. We had mentioned the moon-eyed people before, but I'm kind of on the fence about that just because there hasn't been a lot of experiences recently. This is more of an old-timey legend. I like to think about things where it's still active so that we could possibly visit one day. And I like to stick local to North Carolina, but I'm open to other areas. I know that stuff just doesn't happen in North Carolina. So I think I'm going to leave it up to our listeners. Send us some ideas, and we will pick one to do an episode on, and we will be doing more episodes in October. So the more ideas you have, the better. Let us know. And we'll see you next time.